You know, today, if you want to go ahead and be seated, grab your Bibles. I'm going to read one passage of Scripture, and that is it. And we're going to take an approach. Hopefully, we'll get this live, and you can catch this later in a video. I'm going to step out of a comfort zone today and follow the Holy Spirit. So we're in a series in Mind Wars and dealing with the things that go on in the battles of our mind. And I think it is very important for us to realize that some of the greatest battles we fight are the ability to get back up when something has knocked us down. When we say something, let's not point fingers. Let's not try to figure out who, because that can either be somebody around you or that can be you. And the worst thing we can do is blame. And you know what the enemy would love for you to do? Blame yourself or blame somebody else. But here's the truth. God took the blame. He took the sorrow. He took the shame. He took the guilt. And he took everything and put it on Jesus. And so all that God has given me today is the ability to read one passage of Scripture, and then I'm going to introduce you to somebody. And so today we are praying and believing that in Jesus' name, the things that maybe you've buried in the secret chambers of your heart are exposed to you, not to everybody else. That the giants that have been calling your name, and sometimes we believe that if we ignore them, that they go away. But what happens is they start to infiltrate the very way we act, the way we love, the way we are able to serve our God. Everybody in here has been deemed worthy by their Creator, every single person. Everybody in here is loved with an unmeasurable amount of love. And so today, as we step in, this is not a day, and beware, this is not a day to allow the enemy to trap you in the decisions or the defeats of your mind, but it is the day to declare the victory of Jesus over those things. And so if today you are brought into a awareness of the Holy Spirit, know this, that if shame and guilt are what befalls you, that is the enemy trying to attack immediately what God has for you. Do you hear? So let's declare this in the name of Jesus Christ. We will not surrender. Amen. Can you make that declaration today? I will not surrender. Will you say it? Let's say, I will not surrender. I will not give in to the battle. So I'm going to read Isaiah 53. Rarely do I read an entire chapter in one setting, but it's just too good. There's no good place to stop here. All right, and so as I do this, I'm going to invite Chris and Julie Carden to come join me on stage. Read this with me if you would. Let's do the entire chapter. Who has believed our message? And to whom has the Lord revealed his powerful arm? My servant grew up in the Lord's presence like a tender green shoot, like root in dry ground. There was nothing beautiful or majestic about his appearance, nothing to attract us to him. He was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with deepest grief. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way. He was despised and we did not care. Yet it was our weakness he carried. It was sorrows that weighed him down. And we thought his troubles were a punishment from God, a punishment for his own sins. But he was pierced for our rebellion, crushed for our sins. He was beaten so that we could be whole. He was whipped so that we could be healed. All of us like sheep have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own. Yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. He was oppressed and treated harshly, yet he never said a word. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep is silent before shears, he did not open his mouth. Unjustly condemned, he was led away, and no one cared that he died without descendants, that his life was cut short in midstream. But he was struck down for the rebellion of my people. He had done no wrong and had never deceived anyone, but he was buried like a criminal. He was put in a rich man's grave, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and to cause him grief. Yet when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. By the way, I am one of those, aren't you? If you're a child of God, we're many descendants. It says this, he will enjoy a long life and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. When he sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sin. Thank God for that. I will give him honor of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. If you would, just give some time, a moment to listen to God's amazing grace and God's goodness and abundance. No matter where you are, no matter who you are, God has something for you today. This is Julie. This is Chris. Julie and Chris, just to kind of lay a foundation, have been involved for many years in a ministry called Grace House in Virginia, right? Grace Home Ministries, where they took in, and if you don't mind, I don't want to steal too much, took in ladies that were single moms, pregnant, in their own house. And we kind of hear this going around. Renovatsu's does the same, and others with people that are recovering, and love them through what they were going through. That's all I'm going to say, all right? Because I believe the Holy Spirit is literally going to allow you to say the rest. So hold that close so that we can get it to our audiences that are not here. Do you want the table, Banya? Okay. I can hold it for you.
Okay. I'll stand. It'll make it easier when I show that.
Okay.
Just to tell you a little bit about myself, I am a mother of three grown daughters, and I have amazing son-in-laws, and I just want to share with you about my grandchildren. I'm a grandma, and there is nothing in the world like it. So I just want to give you just a little bit about who I am right now, where I am in the season, and Chris and I haven't lived here very long. We just closed on our house in February, and we lived in an RV for 2 years. And it was a joyful time living in the RV, but there was just different seasons of my life that I fell down. I fell down so far. And I was at a different church, and I just was like, this is not where God wants me. And I was on Facebook, and I actually saw Grace. And so I was like, Grace, because my story is very much about God's grace. I mean, all of our stories are. And so I was like, I need to go here. I shared with Chris, and he's like, Julie, I think you're right. And so I just want to thank you for your obedience, for just whatever God, the Holy Spirit lays on your heart. You just share, because honestly, it's His words through you that I am standing right here. I was not so far down. I never thought I'd get to share or speak again. This is something because of Grace Home Ministries. I was allowed the opportunity to share my testimony, but I haven't done it in over 2 years. And so what this represents to me is huge. Thank you, God, for the series on the mind. And I want to stand here boldly. And I think about Libby that just shared her testimony, and he says that he doesn't recognize that person, and I don't either. So when I do share, I don't want you to look at me and don't feel sorry for me, because I'm not that person anymore. That's not who I am. And I just want to go there with you because I know what it's like. I know what it's like as I go through this box and I share it with you. I know what it's like to be held down, completely held down. And I like to share that this right here, for me, it's a treasure chest. And it's easy for us to talk about all the fun, good things in life, but it's not so good to revisit all the things that are deep down, tucked down within us. And so in here, I'm going to go through and share my testimony with you. I don't know if you can see. I want you to be able to see. Thank you. My testimony starts off when I was 5 years old. My daddy, he he left. And so part of my story is that I was abandoned. And so I very much know what it feels like to grow up without a daddy or a mama. I had my mama, but I'm just thinking about you. So I know what that feels like. And I know that void that's there in your heart. So I have abandon in my treasure chest. And then when he left, my mom, she did the very best she could to keep the house and just to keep things normal, to keep going. But what my mama didn't know is that my babysitter was sexually abusing me. So I have sexual abuse in my box. And if this has happened to you, can I just look at you and tell you I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. And God knows. He knows. So I have sexual abuse in my box. And the good news is with this is that it didn't last long. My mom was not able to keep the house, so it's not something that just continued for years and years. My mom did get remarried, and it was not a pleasant situation. I believe my mom stayed in the situation for my stepsisters just to protect them. He was very, very emotionally abusive and physically abusive. So I very much know what that's like as well. I guess when I was about 17, he cheated on my mom, and my mom left, and that was a good thing. But all through those years, through me going through high school, you would have thought, I've had people tell me, you just look like you have it all together. Well, I didn't. I didn't have it all together. I was longing for love. I just wanted to be loved so badly. And when I was 14 years old, I remember that I was very promiscuous because I was so naive. I thought that sex equaled love, and we all know that sex does not equal love at all. And so I have premarital sex in my box. The very first time that I gave myself away, I became pregnant. I was that girl. And I did not tell my mom or my dad. They had no knowledge of this. And I was told that I was going to have an abortion. I didn't even know what I was doing. But I went there, and the counselors looked at me, and they told me, "You'll be just fine." So I was not just fine. But I'm going to come back to that at the end. I'll circle back around and share more about that. Well, my mom looked at me. I graduated, and she's like, "Julie, you're going to college." This is the first time she'd ever mentioned it. Not that I would have went, because we all have a path, and that was not my path. And she goes, "You got to get a job." And I'm like, she's like, "What do you want to do?" And I'm like, "Well, I think I want to be a dental assistant." So I got hired, and I began to work at the dental office. And I still was in so much pain that I was like, "Okay, I got my own place." I'm like, "Oh, I've got this. Well, guess what? I didn't have it. All I did was I turned to drugs and alcohol to try to numb the pain of all my past, and just trying to put it in there, just thinking that that was, yes, that's going to fix everything. Well, it didn't. It didn't fix everything. So I have drugs and alcohol in my box.
Well, one night when I did have too much to drink, I had a mutual friend that said, I'll take you home. I was like, okay, that's, you know, I could understand. Okay. So he was supposed to be taking me home, and I was not in my right state of mind. And I looked, and I'm like, this is not my home. So I have rape in my box as well. And if this has ever happened to any of you, I just feel like I can't say I'm so sorry. Because sometimes for somebody just to be able to empathize with you and understand, it speaks to me. So I hope it speaks to you. I'm truly sorry. After that, I fell into a deep depression. Why am I here? You know, I did not know God. I had never been to church, but I kept asking myself, I'm like, why am I here? I don't understand. I could barely even get up and function and continue to go to work. You know, I don't know how I did it, but I did. So depression is in my box. You know, I share all of this with you, and I know that it may seem like, wow, but God is good even through all of this. He's good even through all of this. And while I was at that dentist office, I was just working, and one day, this guy came in, and he came in, and he... he came in, and I was working on his teeth and stuff like that, and like what you do when you go to the dentist. And he was just talking to me and things. And I know what you want me to share. I was dating this guy that's not cool. So he left that day. And there was a young dentist in there. She had just come on, and he was coming back. And they all knew. They joked me in the office, oh, he's going to ask you out. And I'm like, you know, I was just so numb. I mean, you got to remember what my state of mind was. I was just like, whatever. And then she looked at me. I guess I'm really competitive, y'all. And she looked at me, and she said, if you don't go for him, I am. So game on. So he asked me out in November, and he would fix dinner for me and just different things, and he would show me such kindness. I remember me sharing everything that I just shared with you guys. And I'm like, oh, this will surely make him run. Because in my life, it seemed like people would always leave. I don't know if any of you were like that, but just people would leave. And I'm like, surely this will do it. You know, this is what was just planted down in me. I'm like, he's going to be gone when I share everything I'm sharing with you. And he would look at me and he goes, I love you anyways. He looked at me every time before he left, and he said, I'm going to marry you one day. And I'd be like, okay. And I started to believe it, you know? I was like, okay, he's going to marry me one day. Well, by April, he proposed, and we got married in August. And I wish I could just sit here and tell you that everything was awesome. Y'all. I had not dealt with any of this stuff. It was all in my back pocket. Divorce, hurt, pain, abuse. I mean, just all of it was right there. And then to top it all off, he had all his stuff too. So he had all his stuff. And I remember we would get in a fight, really a fight. And he would always tell me, get divorce out of your back pocket. And he would tell me that, and I mean, we would just get into it. And I, after the abortion, I wanted so badly to have a baby. Like, I mean, that's all I thought about was having a baby. And so we did. We got pregnant 3 months later, and the arguing and stuff continued. And I, all of a sudden, I was like, oh, I can't do this to my child. I can't, I don't want my child to live like this. I want better. And so I have marriage problems in my box right here. And so I was to the point of, okay, I'm ready to leave. Like, we just can't do this. It's not fair to the baby. It's not fair to us. We just got to go. So one day we were sitting at our house and we heard a, went to the door. It was one of our neighbors. And they said, I just want to invite you to church. There's a revival going on. I just want you to go. And I'm like, okay, well, I've never been to church. Yes, I got married in a church, but that's it. I had never attended a church service at all. I was 19 years old. I had never been invited to church, you know, ever until this day. And so I went and I'm like, okay, let's go check this out. I want to see what this is all about. And I went there and I was like, okay, all right. I mean, didn't get a whole lot from it. We went back home and I'm like, okay, well, I've been there. I've done that. Well, guess what? I just feel like the Holy Spirit wants me to invite you to come to church one more time. And I remember we looked at each other. We're like, this is, we'll go this time, but that's it. You know, that's it. So we went and it was there. It was there that the pastor, you had mentioned something about this, but he, about preaching on hell, he actually did a whole sermon on hell. He took us through a tour of what hell was. And then he didn't leave it right there. He explained what Jesus did for us on the cross, how he took upon all of our sin, you know, so we can live forever with him. He is the one that wants to forgive us. He's the one that wants to heal us. And I remember looking at Chris. I remember looking at him and I'm like, hey, bud, this is what I call him, bud, what is sin? I didn't even know what the word was. It just wasn't in the vocabulary around me. And he said, Julie, it's anything that you've done against God. Anything. And it clicked just like that. The Holy Spirit moved. I'm like, oh, this is the one. This is the one who can forgive me for this abortion. This is the one who can heal me. He's the one that he can make me whole. And I realized it, and I remember looking at Chris, and I go, Chris, I said, I'm going forward. I want to move up there. I want to just repent. I want to say I'm sorry. I want to feel his love. And he looked right at me with his eyes were just full of tears too, and he said, I'm with you. So it was May 19, 1990 that God saved our lives. And that is when, yes, yes, God. Yes. And so we started to live for him instead of living for ourselves. We started learning about God's love. We just started, we're like, we want to raise our kids, you know. At this time it was one, but we went on to, you know, have the three. And I'm like, neither one of us have no idea what it looks like to raise someone for the Lord. But God showed us. Did we make mistakes? Yes. But God is faithful even in the mistakes. So, I want to show you something. Thanks, bud. Salvation. So, that is my last one in my box. And so, I want to show you what he did. I'm not abandoned. I'm adopted by the King of all kings. He's the best daddy that I could ever ask for. And I do want to share something else with you. God has restored my relationship with my sweet, sweet daddy. He came and stayed with me this past year for 1 week. And it was the best week ever. Because I want to, you know, all girls, yes, we're his little girl, but we want to be our daddy's little girl. And he did this. He restored our relationship. So I wanted to share that with you. Sexually abused, he restored me. He restored all that. What is it? Oh. You know, when you're emotionally and physically abused, you are beat down. Beat down. I mean, you feel like you don't even have the strength to get up. And I just want to tell you, he is my strength. Premarital sex. Y'all, he made me pure. He washed me. Abortion. I wanted to pause here on abortion because it's a big part of my story too, in that once I had the abortion, I had dreams of a crying baby every single night, and they wouldn't go away. And I want you to know that the day that I asked God to forgive me of my abortion, he took it away. I mean, gone. I have never had one of those dreams again. So I know that he has forgiven me. Also, I heard my first call from God about the abortion. I'm like, okay, God, what do you want me to do here? What do you want me to do? And I heard my call to go and volunteer at our local pregnancy resource center. And so I go there, and I'm sharing my story, and I shared basically what I'd shared with you, and they're like, well, have you been healed? And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I have been forgiven. I know that. And so they're like, well, in order to counsel, you have to counsel out of a healthy place. They said, so you've got to go to this retreat or do a Bible study. And I'm like, okay, well, I heard my first call. I've got to do this. So I went to a retreat, scared out of my mind. Had no idea what I was getting myself into. No idea. Y'all, it was the best something I'd ever gotten myself into. It was there that I acknowledged my child before the Lord. It was there that the Holy Spirit met me and he revealed that my daughter, her name is Grace. So God's grace and my grace, that I'm going to get to see my Grace one day. And I have had a miscarriage too, and I've acknowledged, and that's a boy, before the Lord too. His name's Cameron. So I had to go, and God wanted to heal me. The thought, if you just really think about that, if I try to think about it in my mind, I'm like, gee, I had an abortion, but yet God loves me so much that he not only wants to coddle me and bring me in, but he wants to give me the gift of knowing what my child is so I can properly grieve my child. That's how good God is. And he had put on my heart, which you'd shared about Grace Home Ministries, is that I wanted a place where girls could come to so they wouldn't have to have an abortion. So they could be loved on, taught the life skill, shown Jesus, go to counseling, teach them budgeting, everything. You name it, he had given me a vision for this in 2012. Good catch. And so in 2012, that happened, and I had this vision. So I just kept sharing my story. It was like, God's like, share your story, share your story. And so there we started in our home, and we started with the 18 to 22, and then God put it on our heart for the younger teens, because I was that girl. And we got our state license all through. Let me just tell you, it was all God. I had no parts of this whatsoever. He showed us step by step what it would look like. Because if he had showed me the whole thing, I promise you I would have said no. So this home, it's housed girls. I've had some come through my house, and then we had another home. But we did not have enough donors to keep the home portion of it running. So we're working on gaining donors for that, because as I know right now, where God put on my heart in this area, there's four girls that I go to bed that need the home right now that we know of. And so that is my position of, because we're co-founders, has changed. Now we're just prayer partners and we are donors. And I'm watching at afar. So I went from living it house parent every day to speaking and just all that. And I used to call it full-time ministry. That's what I did, full-time ministry. Okay, what do I do with myself now? And God has shown me, every one of you, we all live in full-time ministry. We all have a job to do. And that's to share about his goodness. It's to share your stories. So that is the abortion piece. And I want to tell you, I want to touch on this, that if you have had an abortion, man, woman, if you have taken someone to get one, if you're an aunt, uncle, friend, I know what it does to you as well, because I've led Surrendering the Secret many times just for people that have helped in it. And God forgives you too. He forgives you too. And I had talked to Pastor Josh about starting Surrendering the Secret, and Angie is going to walk alongside of me. And so if that is something that is needed here, I would love to meet with you. I would love to talk to you. If it's sexual abuse, I would love to also touch base with you as well, to try to get you to, you know, to the right study, the right person, to be able so God can heal you, because acknowledging it gives you that immediate freedom. But God loves you so much more. He wants to give you so much more. His love is deep. And so I want to show you this. This is, I always say, it's like a vessel of, you know, our vessel. And y'all saw all the stuff that came out of the box, right? Do I need to go over those cards? I'm good. You saw all the stuff. If this was my vessel, it was totally full. So it really, really did not give God a whole lot of room, the Holy Spirit a whole lot of room to do everything that he wanted to do in my life. So when I got it all out, and I want you to know it's taken years, and I am nowhere near where I need to be. And every day, all I can do is just follow hard after him. But I'm able to talk about these things now because God has healed them in my heart. And now look, now that it's empty, he has so much more room to be able to use me. Because when these things are stuck in your box and they're deep down in you, the Holy Spirit is just, not Holy Spirit, Satan, just holds you down. And just holds you down by what are all these things, whether it's, you know, rape, marriage problems, whatever it is. He wants to keep you down. And God wants so much more for you. And I want to share a scripture that I think applies to all of us. It's Isaiah 61, 1 through 3. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who were bound, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant to those who mourn in Zion, to give them a beautiful headdress instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the garment of praise instead of a faint spirit, that they may be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. And I share all that to give him all the glory. All glory is yours, Jesus. Thank you, God. So.
You know, she mentioned earlier that I knew everything about her, and I did. Just like the Lord knows everything about us. Psalm 139, he says, you've searched me, you know me. When I sit down, when I rise up, you scrutinize my path, my lying down. Even before there's a word on my tongue, you know it all. You know my thought life. God knows everything about us. When I went in, I remember her inviting me over that night and said, I got some stuff to tell you. And I didn't know what it was. I just knew that I loved her. And she set me on the bed and she said, I did this, and you're probably going to go. And I said, no, I'm not going to do that. Isn't that the way God works? I run across this the other day and it blew my mind. Why God forgives us of our transgressions, our iniquities, our sins. And I hope what you get out of this today through Julie's testimony is you see why she's up here. It's not for her. It's for God's sake. And I found this in the book of Isaiah. He says, I am the one who wipes all your transgressions away for my own sake. God does it for his sake. You're asking why? So a testimony like this can glorify God. Each one of us has a story. This is just not all about abortion, addiction, fill in the blank, iniquity, anything. We all have a story. God wants you to come to his table. And as we've seen with the woman at the well, she sat down and God went toward her. He knew she was going to be there. God knows you're here today. And he's making a move toward you to use you, to use your past transgressions that we all have to glorify him. So you can share this with someone else. I've seen her speak several times. I've stood outside in women's conferences, just peering through the window, and I could see women just break by the Holy Spirit wanting to use them. And many women have come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ because of this. There's many women that have not given their babies up for abortion because of this story. God's been glorified through her testimony and her life. As anguish as it was to go through, the scars that she's gotten through this, God is glorified. And that's my prayer today, that God is our shepherd. He's the great shepherd. That old verse that you see on the wall, leads me through green pastures and still waters. You see it knitted on everything. I heard a sermon a couple weeks ago on this very, in my opinion, forgotten. People just read past. It's almost like the mothball sermon that everybody just reads past. But he says, God prepares a table in the midst of my enemies. He has a table, a feast, as it's translated, of everything we need. And all he wants you to do is sit down. Amongst your enemies, abortion, addiction, whatever it is, anxiety. What we do, and I hate to go, I'm not going long. What we do when we sit at the table, if we get time to sit at the table, with the creator of the world that knows us, knows every part about us, he's got a feast in front of us to live an abundant life. Here's what happens, and I've seen this so many times while she's speaking, and other pastors. The evil one, the great deceiver, comes and sits at the table with you. And he says, you know, you're okay. No one would ever know. You're fine where you're at. You're doing good. No one knows this secret. That's his job, is to keep you down, to keep you from glorifying God with your story. And as long as you allow him, these 9 words that I don't want you to forget, that I've heard, that I'll never forget, don't allow the enemy to have a seat at your table. Amen.
I'm going to set this right here, you know, because all I hear is God asking this question in my life and maybe yours too. What is in your box? I mean, what have you allowed to be the anthem of your life? I mean, as I look through the audience, and I'm trying not to make eye contact, I really am, because I don't believe this is a moment where God has shown up to just remind you of the things that you've done or the places you've been or the things been done to you. I believe this is a moment where God has showed up to declare to you, to take command, and to say, these are not my intentions, nor are these my plans. These are not the measure of which I measure your life. Instead, I've sent my son to cover. When salvation gets in the box, everything else goes away. And some of you say, well, I'm saved, but I still have these deep hurts. You know what I found is salvation may cover, but you and I have to release. You and I have to give it up. You and I have to surrender it to God. Jesus took it away. But I'm going to be honest. My son, 5 years old, is so strong that when he wants something and has it in his hands, it becomes a wrestling match sometimes for me to free it from his hands to get it clean. And he's only 5 years old. And I look at that and I realize that God has sent his son and the Holy Spirit right now in this moment to war with the things that the enemy has planted in our lives. And like a 5-year-old, sometimes we hang on to it because it's all we've ever known. It's all we've ever had. It has become who we are. And he's saying, no, give this to me. No, surrender this. And we're saying, no, I don't know how to be. I don't know who I am without it. And God says, I don't need you to know who you are. I need you to know who I am. And if you and I would empty our box. And there's over 7,000 promises of what he wants to put in it. There's over 7,000 things he wants to do. And he is right. The enemy will sit here and say, you're okay. Or the enemy will say, let's deal with this tomorrow. But you know why that voice is echoing in your mind? Because it needs to be dealt with right now. Today is the day of salvation. And so I'm going to ask, if y'all would you just stand up front here and let's open this empty box and let's just let it be a declaration of the goodness of God. And as you who are here who maybe have battled, and you know what I have found? Abortion is not a one-way street. Guys, it deals with us just as much as it deals with the lady. A lot of times she is left carrying the guilt, but we do too. If you've ever made that decision, hey, sexual abuse is not a one-way street. None of these things are restricted, but some of you have held these so long that you're not experiencing the full love and joy strength that God has. So I'm going to ask everybody, just stand. We'll go away online.